We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And right next to me here in this little studio, there is
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in picturesque South St. Louis.
Well, I should mention that New Athens and Darmstadt are picturesque as well.
Of course they are. Right on the Kaskaskia River?
On the Kaskaskia, that's right. Come and see the jumping Japanese carp.
Yeah, what's the deal with the Asian carp? Are they still jumping?
Oh, they are. They are. In fact, we have a hillbilly fishing contest where they give a prize. It's actually our brothers in the St. Agatha's Catholic Church that do this every year. But they give the prize for the biggest jumping carp you can catch. Yeah.
So how do you get them to jump?
They don't have to do anything. No, that's, in fact, you wish they didn't, because you're going down the Kaskaskia just wanting a nice enjoy, nice summer day, and they come up and slap you in the face. Literally. Literally, they do. People don't believe that, but they do. They literally just jump right in the boat with you.
I've seen videos, like on YouTube and things. It does. It seems like they're just... Jumping over the boats and over people and slapping them around.
That is crazy. By the way, before we go any further, again, keeping people up to date on the way that vegetables are trying to kill us. Did you see that they're calling a recall of cucumbers now for salmonella poisoning?
Oh, no.
I'm telling you, they're out to get us, those vegetables. By the way, do you know of anyone who's ever gotten salmonella from eating bacon, Matt?
I have not.
I don't think so. So if in doubt, between vegetables and bacon, go with the bacon.
Bacon is our friend.
How the bathing toothpicks? Have you used the bacon toothpicks yet that I gave you a couple months ago?
Sure I have, John.
All right, man. Why do I bother to buy you anything nice? So here's what we're doing. We're done with our top 10 Bible verses, and thank you very much for that, Matt. I appreciate that, and I'm sure all of our listeners did too. And again, as you said, email the radio station. We get anything you mail to KFUO, and let us know if you have other favorite Bible verses you'd like us to talk about.
Yeah, please do. We would love to talk about it and see what verses are in people's hearts and minds out there. Yeah, please do.
So what we're going to do today is, we've actually been doing this, bits and pieces of this, new things, new stuff I've learned. And so I want to share a couple of stories with you. One is actually stuff I already knew, but then also another story about stuff that is new that I learned.
Wait a second.
I don't know. It's getting confusing, isn't it?
Okay. So stuff you sort of kind of learned. Stuff you learned at one point in your life.
Yeah, this is stuff I... So we got stuff I knew, but then some new stuff. I don't know. Let's just do it. Matt, Mark chapter 7.
All right.
If you wouldn't mind reading to verse 24 there.
Sure. Mark 7:24. And from there, Jesus arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter.
This is stuff I already knew. In our church, Matt, the last few weeks we've been talking about the Jewish understanding of holiness. What do we think of when we think of the word holiness? What kind of thoughts come into our head when you hear the word holy?
Well, first, you know, we think of things set apart, things that are special. We think probably first and foremost of God, the Holy Trinity, but then we think of holy baptism, holy communion.
All right. Actually, that's not what I was going for, Matt, but thank you, because that is exactly what holiness is.
Did I blow it?
No, you didn't blow it. That's it. I was thinking, when people think of holiness, they think of somebody that's good.
Oh, okay.
Somebody that's moral.
Well, see, I'm a pastor. I don't know.
I know. Well, no, but see, you're absolutely right. So thank you. That's the point. That was what Jews thought of. It's to be separated out. out. And defile, by the way, is just the opposite. See, again, we think of defile as being something that's immoral or dirty or impure. But no, defile actually means you're common, you're ordinary, you're part of the hoi polloi. And of course, to be holy is, as you said, to be separated out, to be special. Okay, thank you. That wasn't what I was going for, but you're right. What can I say?
I don't want to steal your thunder.
No, well, that's okay. You did already.
But yeah, you know, it's too late now.
It's too late.
But I would think most people would say, you know, holy, yeah, something, you know, almost supernatural maybe. What do you think? Or something along those lines?
Yeah, again, most people would, but no, you would say separated and special, which is what it is. But of course, here's the point. This gal we got here, she is not special. She is not separated out, right? She is just part of the hoi polloi. She is defiled in the sense that she's just part of the great nations out there. And we see that because, first of all, he's in Tyre and Sidon.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Tyre and Sidon, that's not the Holy Land.
Yeah, that's pretty far north.
Yeah, that's the land of the pagans, the aliens. And if you didn't get that, he calls her a Gentile. Although this is something, do you know what it actually says there? It doesn't say Gentile. All these years I thought it said Gentile, but it actually says that she was Greek. She's a Hellenist is what it literally says.
Oh, yeah, verse 36, yeah, 26.
Yeah, she's a Gentile, but it's actually, which that works because, again, if you're a Jew, if you're separated out of the nations, one of the key things that separates you is because you believe there's how many gods?
If you're a Jew, you're one God.
Yeah, that's a big thing. The Lord our God is one. If you're a Greek, on the other hand, what? I don't remember.
Anything goes, maybe, you know, and you got... Well, all sorts of gods.
Zeus and Hermes and Aphrodite.
Yep, yep.
I always get the Greek and the Roman gods confused.
The planet names and all that.
There you go, too. That's right. But anyway, you got a whole bunch of gods, but not a Jew. No, no. But she's got a whole bunch of gods. She's a Greek. And then finally, this business about her being a Syrophoenician woman. And of course, I knew this already. She shouldn't have been there because God told them to kill all the Syrophoenician people. If God's chosen people had done what he commanded them, he would have killed all of these people, men, women, and children. And so there wouldn't be any Syrophoenicians, women, to bother Jesus and say, hey, can you cast that demon out of my daughter? Because they would have all been dead, Matt.
Yeah.
Okay.
But here she is. And well, you know, I'm looking at this too, just, you know, if you came across anything and learned anything new about this, or maybe it's something old. But, you know, even Jesus, as I'm reading here, I find it interesting that Jesus is trying to kind of get away almost. He wants some R&R, and yet he can't even get away. But it says that he entered a house. And I really kind of wonder whose house he was in here.
That's a good point.
Because especially if he's kind of in this Gentile, more or less Gentile territory, is he in the house of a Gentile even?
I guess he would have had to have been. Yeah, because there's probably no Jews living here.
Yeah.
So now he's actually defiled too, isn't he? Because he's made himself. Mm-hmm. I've learned a new thing again. I didn't even know. Thank you.
We're kind of making an assumption here, but yeah, I mean, perhaps he's in the house of a Gentile.
Well, because you got that whole business when they're passing through Samaria,
mm-hmm.
and the Samaritans won't have anything to do with him because they're going to Jerusalem. But now he's hanging out with the people in Tyre and Sidon. But here's the other interesting thing. Get ready to read the Bible verse, because I think we're hearing this and saying, well, of course, that's the way the Old Testament people thought. That's how they thought about the Greeks and the Syrophoenicians. But Jesus, of course, is a New Testament guy, you know, so that's it. He's hanging out in the Gentiles' houses. He welcomes Gentiles. But listen to what he says to the woman here. Listen to what he says to the woman.
Sure. Verse 27, and he said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.
What? What did he call her?
A dog.
Oh, gee. Wow.
And that was not a compliment, right? That's not...
Well, now, I'll ask you, because this is something that I did know. This is not a surprise to me, although when I learned it was a surprise. But I guess that's usually how it is. Nothing striking about that. When you learn something new, it's kind of a surprise. So do you know what the whole significance of the word dog is there, Matt?
Well, and Jesus uses it here.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking about, you know, a mangy dog, probably. He's talking about how, you know, dogs weren't, you know, we're not thinking of the cute little pet dog here in this, you know, in what Jesus is saying, but the wild dog, perhaps, that roams the street that you want to stay away from, that you want to kick and get out of the way.
The dingoes.
The dingoes.
The dingoes. 4,500 miles worth of fence in Australia to keep the dingoes out. Did you know that?
That's a lot of fence, though.
That's a lot of fence.
Wow. I remember a Seinfeld episode that mentioned dingoes.
Is that
that's about it.
That's the extent of your knowledge
that's
about dingoes?
Extent. That's about
okay,
it.
Well, you get your little Googleplex out or Wikipedia or whatever that is, and you check it out. 4,500 miles to keep out.
My goodness.
But see, now here's the thing that I did. That's not the word Jesus uses.
He doesn't use the word dingo?
No. Not the word for the mangy, barking, growling, stealing your sheep dog. But you're right. That's what the people in those days, when they called you a dog, it was not a compliment. But that's what's striking here, because the word that Jesus uses actually is the word for the little dog, the pet dog, the lap dog, the puppy, as you said. And what's interesting is look what the woman does with that. It's such a little thing that he calls her, but it's a good dog word. It's not the bad dog word. It's not dingo. And look how she responds to that, Matt.
She says, verse 28, but she answered him, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.
Yeah, so, okay. Luther got just a great line. Luther says, she caught him in his words. She caught him in his words. In other words, so all right, I'm a dog. I'll acknowledge that. I'm a Gentile. I'm a Greek. I'm a Syrophoenician. Yeah, you can call me a dog if you want. But you know what, Jesus? The dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the table. See?
Yeah.
And of course, in Matthew has Jesus telling us how great a faith this is to recognize, first of all, that we are dogs. We don't deserve anything. You had this last week with Ephesians 2. We are saved by grace. We got to. There's nothing we got to offer God. We're nothing but dogs, and yet to still have the courage to ask him for something. And then the other thing that I thought was neat that shows how great her faith is, that she would rather have the crumb from Jesus' table than to have a 7-course meal from Zeus.
Yeah.
You got a crumb from Jesus, you're doing better off than anything that any other god might give you.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
isn't that neat, you know, rather be in the Lord's house as a dog,
yes,
than
yes.
be the daughter in the house of Zeus
or the king,
else,
yeah,
the
right,
king,
the great ruler. Yeah,
yeah. I think of in the Old Testament, talk about being a doorman,
yes.
in the house of God, you know,
yeah,
and how wonderful that is just to be in the Lord's presence and hear similar ideas.
But better than being a prince or a princess.
Yes.
No, yes. And again, so here's my point. I think sometimes we feel like God is treating us like dogs. That's what always troubled me. I'm supposed to be the chosen one. I'm supposed to be the ones that's called out. And yet sometimes we do feel like God's treating us like a dog when we lose loved ones or we've got family problems or the money's tight. Our illnesses, when we deal with physical illnesses, you don't understand these things yet, Matt Youngblood Clark. But someday when you get to be as old as I am, you will. But my point is, do like the woman. Listen carefully to what Jesus says. Catch him in his words, because he's very clear, very specific. No, we're not dogs. He doesn't want us to be dogs. But indeed, he says that we actually are the sons and daughters, that we will actually sit at table. We're not going to have crumbs, but we'll actually banquet with the Lord Almighty and with our brother Jesus Christ. Now, that's the stuff I knew. But could you move on to the next story, and I'll share you some of the new stuff I learned these last couple weeks.
All right.
Unless you've got you want to make
no,
some more
no,
comments
you
about
me,
a cyber
go
agent.
Move on here with verse 29.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And we'll see. We get to see the healing here. And he said to her, from this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone.
I keep on reading.
All right. Very good. So continuing here, verse 31. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee. In the region of the Decapolis.
So we're still here amongst the pagans, you know, the Gentiles. Yeah. Go ahead.
And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hands on him.
All right. So here's the new thought I had. So, of course, Jesus is talking about these Gentiles and these pagans like they're dogs. But we know that in Jesus Christ, we're actually sons and daughters. In fact, how does he teach us to pray, Matt?
Our Father.
Right.
Our
so Father. That's not about a dog. Dog doesn't pray to the Father, but children pray to their Father. But it occurred to me that sometimes we still act like we're dogs. So here's my point. What do these people want? This is a good thing, by the way. At least these pagans understand you got a problem, bring your sick friend to Jesus. Yeah, that's a good thing. You got things that are troubling you. Come and bring them to Jesus and beg Jesus to help you. But it occurred to me, they're still acting like dogs, because dogs will do that, won't they?
Mm-hmm.
When
mm-hmm.
dogs need something, when they're hungry, what do? They come and they beg. But look what Jesus does here. Because all they want to do is what? What does it say, Matt? All they want Jesus to do is what?
Lay his hands on him.
Yeah. Just like a dog. Throw me a bone, and then you can go on about your business, and I'll do my doggy stuff. You know? That's all I want. Just wave your magic Jesus wand over me. Take away my problems and trials, and then you can go on and do whatever you want to do, Jesus, and I'll go do what I want to do. But look what Jesus does here.
Right. Verse 33, and taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put
I don't want to be apart from the crowd. Just heal me. I got my buddies here. All right. If you want me to go off privately, I guess I'll go. I don't know. This is kind of creepy, isn't it?
This guy. Funny?
Yeah. What's this Jesus one? I just thought he was going to heal me. Now he's taking me off privately. Okay. Go ahead.
Let's see. And he put his fingers into
what?
His ears.
Oh, get that. Here, Matt. Oh, I can't get it. You got a headphone on.
I've got my protective earphones
that's
on.
That's right. People don't realize that. We don't wear headphones so that we can hear. It's to keep people from sticking fingers in our ears. Okay. That's why Matt wears his headphones
all the time. Especially in close quarters here.
In close quarters. Anywhere. That's right.
Anytime I'm within reaching distance of Pastor Jolly
right.
John.
give you a wet willy. You ever had a wet willy, Matt? Now we're going back to my junior ideas.
I don't want to learn what one is now.
Okay. You just lick your fingers and then you stick it in somebody's ear. Don't do that, kids. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Where's the button? I have the point button out. You always play that one on me.
Okay,
you're talking about wet willies. You know,
when you're telling them the story, here's a good idea. Have a point.
Thank you.
It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
All right. Now I feel much better now. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
All right. So Jesus is sticking his fingers in the guy's ears.
Yeah.
And then after spitting, Jesus spits, he touches the man's tongue.
oh, gross.
I know, isn't that crazy?
That's all we need. Because that's what it, and actually this comes to us via Jim Lestico. You remember Jim, don't you? Lestico from down there, Evansville, because he was preaching on this for pastors' conference, and I'd never thought about that before, but Jesus doesn't want to just wave his magic Jesus wand. He doesn't want to just throw you a bone. No, he wants to establish a relationship with you. And as he goes about doing that, he may do things that you're kind of uncomfortable with, like sticking his finger in your ear or maybe spitting on you or something. But it did occur to me, Jesus does not want to be your master who puts your kibble and bits in front of you and then he goes on to do his own thing. Nor does he want to be your trainer. It's not the deal that we do a few tricks for Jesus and then he'll take care of our problems. Look, Jesus, I'm praying. Look, Jesus, I'm sitting in church. Mm-hmm. Okay, now throw me a treat. No, it doesn't work that way. He wants to be what he is, which is our flesh and blood brother, with emphasis, by the way, on flesh and blood, because that's how he gets to be our brother. But I just thought, I love that text because this is what Jesus is going to do. If there's anybody out there playing footsie with Jesus today, we're saying our little prayers to Jesus, but all we really want him to do is take care of our problems so we can go on about our business. You better watch out. Because he isn't going to do that. He's going to take you off into private, and he's going to do what he wants to do, which is to be your brother and help you believe that he is your brother. So anyway, that's the new thing I learned. Any thought about that, Matt? Or?
We used the words Jesus wand, dingo, and footsie. All in one episode.
And a wet willy. All in one episode.
That's some kind of record. It's a beautiful image that with all of Jesus' miracles, he's more than just a miracle worker. He's more than just someone's going to provide you with bread for the here and now. No, he wants to give you the bread of life and that life everlasting, the life that he gives for the life that he gives and finally lays down for the life of the world.
Well, and thank you, Matt, because see, that's right. That brings us back to a story we had a few weeks ago about Jesus feeding the 5,000,
yep.
And everyone thought, that's what he's for. He's going to give us breakfast every morning, you know? And Jesus then getting, again, very, very uncomfortable, saying, well, you know what? You need to gnaw on my flesh. You need to drink my blood.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do. And of course, people didn't like that either, just like I suppose I wouldn't like Jesus to be sticking his fingers in my ear. But that's the point. He wants to have a relationship with us. He doesn't want to just give us some bread or heal us of some sickness, and then we move on and he moves on.
I talked about this for our children's message in church.
Oh,
and,
did you? Yeah.
And I asked a child to get up to be as a volunteer, and they were okay with me sticking my fingers in their ear. But when it came to when Pastor started spitting on his hand and asking them to stick out their tongue.
Oh, did you really do this? That. Is that right?
I did, yeah. So, but it was
so where did you go with that then, Matt? What a wonderful children's illustration, though. So where did you go with that then?
Well, yeah, so then, well, just talking about how Jesus restores the man. How, and how, well, as we'll move on here, we haven't got, I don't want to steal your thunder.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm done with my thunder.
Well, as,
go ahead.
It's interesting because Jesus, after this account, charges them to tell no one, and the more they more zealously proclaimed it, and it says that they were astonished beyond measure at what they saw. You know, they're astonished, they're amazed. The only person probably that didn't like what Jesus did was who?
I don't know.
Well, the kids knew. The kids knew. They said the devil.
The devil. Oh, good. Yes.
And I think they're exactly right. And this idea of Jesus, as with all of his miracles, bringing restoration, the spread of his reign and kingdom, reversing, we could say, the effects of sin and the devil and you know, this deafness that we see. He makes things right again, and the devil doesn't like it. Anyway, so that's where I went with it, was that restoration that Jesus brings to this man, but the restoration he brings to us too.
And I'm really glad you said that, because see, that brings up another thought I had. You know, when Jesus is restoring the man, and I think we can understand, we got sign language going on here, right? Because the guy's deaf.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So Jesus has to do some kind of physical sign to show him what his intent is. But did you catch in there too? We didn't read that verse, but Jesus, when he's doing this, he sighs.
Yeah.
And now you're making me think about that, because, see, the crowd says, oh, he does everything wonderful. And Jesus saying, I'm not doing anything here. I'm giving the guy the ability to hear. I'm giving the guy the ability to speak. He's still a sinner. He's still under the control of the devil.
Yeah.
He's still going to die and go to hell. I haven't really done anything yet. And what I'm going to have to do is going to be a lot harder than sticking my fingers in somebody's ears.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to involve my hands being nailed to a cross and people mocking me and beating me and being crucified because they think I'm the worst sinner in the world. And I am at that point, because I'm bearing the sins of the whole world. So that's a good point. This is a wonderful miracle, but it pales in comparison to what the really great thing Jesus did for us, which was to suffer and die for us. So
when he's not the one doing the spitting, but the one who spat upon finally at the cross.
Nice thought. That's right. Yeah. He's the one that gets spat upon. And they're sticking things, and they're not sticking him in
his ears. Even worse.
His hands and his feet. Which does bring me then to the final thing that I did get out of this text, that God wants to use means in order to communicate his grace and his mercy, his restoration, as you said. And again, we're offended at that. We think it should be higher and holier than that. But here he uses spit. For us, of course, he uses the water of baptism. Here he sticks his fingers in people's ears. For us, he uses bread and wine. Oh, that's too common. That's too ordinary. But what does Jesus say? Did you catch that? That's the other neat thing in Mark. What does Jesus say? He not only does the hand signs and everything, but what's he say?
So he sighs, and then he says to him, Ephphatha, that is, be open.
Yeah. So please understand, when we start talking about the water of baptism, when we start talking about the bread and wine that's in communion, we understand it's just bread and wine. We understand it's just water. But wait, it's not just water. It's not just bread and wine. It's the water and the bread and wine that's been combined with the word of God. And it always tickled me. You think that's crazy, talking to a deaf guy, and yet not so if it's the word of God. No, the word of God actually gives deaf people to hear, and the word of God actually takes people like you and I that are spiritually deaf and can give us faith. That's a miracle. It's a remarkable miracle. And any final thoughts, Matt, as we close out here?
There's all those miracles that Jesus has done. You know, almost always accompanied by the word, you know, and here, like you pointed out, it gives the faith comes through that word and that hearing as well, and the connection to water and to bread and wine. Yeah, neat insights. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. We are glad you're here with us with Wrestling with the Basics, and we look forward to talking to you again next week.